Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, with your hosts, Ray Garvin and Derek Brown, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
Welcome back to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is, your boy Ray G. You can find me on Twitter at RayGQ. And I'm joined by my friend, my good buddy in the space, Derek Brown. You can find him on Twitter at Dbro underscore FFB. Derek, how you doing, big dog?
I'm doing good, baby. I'm ready to roll through this. We got a really good show for people today, and I think it's very fitting. It's last dance time, baby. We're pulling some NJ and Pippen stuff. It's last ride.
Last ride. Let's get it, man. We went to the Senior Bowl together. We text about these prospects all the time in our group chat. We talk about these guys. So in this episode today, we're going to do a two-round super flex rookie mock draft. I have no clue Derek's rookie ranks. He has no clue what my rookie ranks are. So this will be a very interesting exercise. You know, you hear him on Fantasy Pros, you hear me on Wake Up Every Morning. I do this with Jay Rich, and you've heard sort of my thoughts and opinions of these players. You've heard Derek in his various mediums and outlets on his outlook of players. We're going to bring that together to a beautiful melting pot here, and we're going to talk rookies in the 2022 class. So we are not going to beat around the bush. We are going to get right into the content. Superflex, two rounds. D-Bro, Drew, the 101. We are going to go tit for tat, back to back. Me, Derek, all the way to 24. D-Bro, who you taking at the 101 Superflex Rookie Mock 2022? Kick us off. You're on the clock.
I am going to start this off and go ahead and hurt a lot of people's feelings and not take Breece Hall with the 101. I told you I wanted the first pick here. I could go with my RB1, who is not Breece Hall, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go Malik Willis, baby. I think he's going to get top 5, top 10 capital. I know you've been out in the streets talking about he goes top 3 looking at the Detroit Lions. We've talked about this, Ray. Malik Willis is the game-changer type of quarterback. If you're looking at a player that could crack that top 5, top 6 quarterbacks in fantasy, this is the guy, man. Full skill set, and people talk about him like he's so raw and stuff like that, but they don't give that same kind of shade and all that kind of angst towards Trey Lance. In the same bucket, dude, as far as their upside, as far as their skills. I actually venture to guess that and I lean that Malik Willis has the better raw traits. If you were to stack the two of them side by side, give me Malik Willis's rushing upside and his arm talent over Trey Lance. He's the unquestioned 101 in Superflex for me.
You are digging deep. You have your heels anchored into the ground, yes, and you sir. Are standing by your guy, Malik Willis, over Breece Hall, 101, the value at the quarterback position. Malik Willis has the unique skill set, the talent, probably number 2 overall pick. If he doesn't go 2, who knows? Pittsburgh trades up for him. The Atlanta Falcons trades up for him. I get it. Superflex quarterback is the value, but I am very happy that you let one Breece Hall, my RB1 in the class, fall to me here at 102. I'm going to take the running back out of Iowa State that has not missed a game in his collegiate career, that went out there, dropped a 4.3, that jumped 50 inches in the vertical jump, who just can do it on the ground, through the air. I mean, anything that you're looking for in Breece Hall. We talked about him this morning, Jay Rich and I, on the Wake Up Show. Listen, I'm getting ahead of it. I'd rather be a year early. I think a year from now, we're going to be talking about Breece Hall as the RB4, RB5 in Dynasty, and I already have him ranked appropriately. He's going to get the draft capital. He's going to be the first running back, in my opinion, D-Bro, off of the board in the NFL draft. So I'm getting ahead of it. His size, his skill set, his speed, his availability, I think he is the unquestioned RB1 in this 2022 class. I know you will disagree, and we'll probably talk about your guy here in a little bit, but I would be very happy in a rookie draft to grab Breece Hall at 102. You are up 103. Where are you going?
So I think there's obviously some ways to go here. I could go wide receiver, and that's probably the way that I lean. The other thing that we're going to get to about this is I think there is a huge, huge tier fall off after these top two running backs. So if you are in a rookie draft and you need a running back, I don't think it's insane to take Kenneth Walker at the 103. I really don't, because the tier fall off after these top two running backs is massive here. I'm not going to go that direction, not because, look, I let off this show with a hot take and taking Malik over Breece Hall. I'm not going to double down with that and stay with the fire. I'll go with the, and I'm not going to say it's the boring pick, but I'll go with Garrett Wilson here. Currently, him and Drake London are fighting it out for my wide receiver one of this class. So I'll go with Garrett Wilson. I think he's going to get top 10 capital. I think he's an elite separator. He can win at all levels of the field. I will go with, I'm not going to say the boring pick, but give me Garrett Wilson.
All right. Can I interest you in Jameson Williams to Kansas City going ahead of Garrett Wilson? Can I interest you? Can I interest you in J-Mo to Kansas City or Drake London to Green Bay? Can I interest you in one of those guys over your RB or over your wide receiver one here?
So out of those two guys, the one I would lean, if those were the landing spots for them, would be Drake London right now. And okay. I know that might, I don't know how people sit with that. You've seen a lot of talk in the streets about Drake London can't separate. Drake London's this, he's that, he's whatever. I think that's all total bullshit. I don't know what film you're watching. If you think Drake London can't separate, you need to go back and watch the tape and get somebody to teach you how to watch the tape. He could separate early, late. Dude's got short area agility to win on quick hitting routes. You see it consistently. Dude's breaking ankles. There's multiple routes, and I know it was Utah and stuff, but I finished watching all of his tape yesterday, and dude is breaking ankles on double moves, go routes, out routes, short area routes, slants. You know he has the leverage and the size to get the inside leverage to win on those routes as well, and the quickness, dude. So, look, you could easily talk me into Drake London as the wide receiver one of this class, especially if you get with a prime landing spot. And there's going to be a lot of talk about, like, rookie wide receivers meshing with Aaron Rodgers. That's fine and that's good, but you got to have people that are willing to take that have the talent to take targets away from a wide receiver when that's going to happen as well. For all the stands out there that believe in Alvin Lazard, he still is not on the talent level of somebody like Drake London, man. So targets are earned. Duke could still walk in there and earn them.
All right. D-Bro breaking my heart here as I am the the resident Alan Lazard truther. But let's go 104. I'm taking my QB1 in this class. I believe he's going to get the draft capital, so I'm going to go Matt Corral, super flex quarterback, the value there at 104. Malik is off the board. Breece is off the board. Matt Corral, if he gets first-round draft capital, he's got value insulation for the next 3-4 years with his skill set. You talk about how good Malik Willis is on the ground. Go look up Matt Corral and what he did on the ground in the SEC at Ole Miss, as well as improving his touchdown-to-interception ratio from his sophomore season to his junior season. Saw him at the pro day. Looks like the ankle's healed up. He's got the arm talent. He's got the size, 6'1", 215 pounds. He showed that he could be a high-level performer in the SEC. I'm still loving what Matt Corral put on wax in the SEC at Ole Miss over the course of his career. Highly touted recruit out of high school. I'm still in on Matt Corral at 104, and you are up at 105, and I see you got your guy. Your RB1, you have been talking about this more than anybody else that I've seen in the space. Your RB1, go ahead and talk to the people. Tell us who you got here at 105.
So I could go Drake London here, but I got to go Kenneth Walker, man. And we talked about it, and some of this goes down with what do you think about this wide receiver class? I think we have a long tier of dudes that are, one, going to get drafted in the first round. Two, depending on landing spots, those things could shift. So even if you don't get a Drake London, maybe you get a J-Mo, maybe you get an Olave, maybe you get a Burks. All of them are going to go round one. They're all going to get early opportunity. So in this type of exercise, when I know that there's a long tier of dudes that I will be happy if I get, regardless, I'm going to take the last guy of a tier break and my RB1 in this class and Kenneth Walker. And people, look, just because you differ from the damn echo chamber out there and everybody and their mama, and I'm not saying it's wrong, people. I'm not.
Talk that shit, D-Bro. Talk that shit, man.
The echo chamber in Dynasty gets real every single year, man. And if you throw something out there that is opposite of whatever the echo chamber is, people think that you're just trying to sling hot takes, that you're just trying to be out there trying to get clicks and engagement farming and all that kind of bullshit. I'm not, man. Like, going through both of these guys, and I've gone through my prospect write-ups. They will be live on Fantasy Pros in the upcoming weeks. When I looked at both of these guys' skill set, I don't think that the pass game involvement and their skills in that area are that big of a difference. I really, really don't. And just because Kenneth Walker didn't catch passes doesn't mean the dude can't. And if you hear people that are plugged in that are, then I ain't got sources, baby. I ain't gonna pretend I got sources. But you listen to Daniel Jeremiah and stuff, his podcast that came out yesterday, Kenneth Walker is up to his 31st overall player in this class. And for all y'all doing napkin math at home, that makes the dude a first round pick. He's two people behind Breece Hall in this class. So if you want to talk about there's a massive divide and all that kind of shit, I ain't here for it. Kenneth Walker has the rushing talent, and I'm going to sit here and say this too. He is the best pure rusher in this class. Pure rusher. Early down, with the ball in his hands, he is better than Breece Hall. And I don't think that that's a hot take. If you look at all the numbers, his numbers scream this, okay? I understand he has less collegiate carries than Breece Hall. I don't give two shits about that. The sample size is big enough that we could see he almost has 500 carries, okay? So this is not a flash in the pan. If you look at his efficiency year after year after year, his yards after contact per attempt is higher than Breece Hall every single year. His collegiate yards after contact per attempt is higher than him. Breece Hall's best season in college from that type of efficiency metric never touched Kenneth Walker, ever. Kenneth Walker has a higher percentage of 10-plus yard runs over his collegiate career, over Breece Hall, almost 2% higher. He has the same breakaway run rate as Breece Hall. So you're talking about skill set on early downs. Like Breece Hall, I think his pass game usage gets puffed up way above where it should be. Not that the dude is terrible, but he is not an upper echelon going to be just one of the top in the NFL pass catchers in the NFL, and both of them have pass protection issues. This divide is not as far as people think it is in that ilk, and Kenneth Walker crushes him as far as a rushing standpoint, both in the numbers, and you can even make the case on the film as far as what he's able to do in space and in traffic with his vision and his lateral ability. So I know people think that I'm just being out here just tossing hot takes. It is not a hot take. I can back it up. I will back it up. And the numbers speak for it outside of the film.
You know, I want to say this. You made a very compelling argument to Kenneth Walker as your RB1. What's interesting about the dynasty space is everybody wants you to be original, to come to your own conclusion. But if that conclusion doesn't mirror what everybody else says, then it's bad, or they don't know what they're talking about. You know, like, if we all just agreed that this is the RB1, this is the, then what are we doing? Why are we here? Why is there what is the point of anything? Like, you need to grow and stretch and learn and hear differing opinions. And now that you said this, like, he wasn't my RB1, but I'm thinking, like, man, maybe I need to look into it, and just maybe I am a little lower on Kenneth Walker for no good reason. And by low, RB2, RB3, I don't think that's very low. But like, I'm with you, man. Anything that differs from groupthink, you get slandered and labeled as hot takey. You get discounted and pushed aside. And it's really kind of, disrespectful to the people who do put in the work and have a process, you know, that actually grind whatever, the data, the numbers, the film, whatever the case may be. So I don't, for one, think you're crazy for having Kenneth Walker at one. I agree. I do believe he's the best. Hand the ball off. I think he's the best pure runner in this class. And for me, in my film grades, the only reason he graded out on film behind Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller is because I in my process, and that's not means it's right or wrong, I look for receiving, that I have it as receiving versatility is very high for me, right? Like, I want to see running backs be deployed as pass catching weapons, you know, moving in the slot, Had he done that, and I'm not bullshitting you, D-Bro, I've got a full spreadsheet. If I just plug in a couple of numbers in two receiving categories for Kenneth Walker, it bumps him from RB3 from the film grade all the way up to RB1. So that was the only thing. So if he can demonstrate that level of receiving production in the NFL, I think he's going to have a very fruitful career. You know, just because a player didn't do it in college does not mean that they're incapable of doing it at the next level. We just have to see it. So not a hot take whatsoever, but here we go. Let's get back on the rails. We're only at 106. We got to pick it up a little bit, D-Bro. 106, Superflex mock. I'm going Kenny Pickett, quarterback out of Pittsburgh. I think he's probably the most pro-ready out of the big three, in my opinion, quarterbacks in this 2022 class. I believe he is locked into first-round draft capital. Accurate. He's got more mobility than people give him credit for. Sneaky athletic for you, one Kenny Pickett. And I think he's going to be a solid QB2 in fantasy purposes. For fantasy purposes, you know, I would probably like some of the receivers over him more. But if you're giving me this value on Kenny Pickett here at the 106 in a super flex, I can't pass it up. Your call. You're at the 107. Don't break my heart. Who you got?
I'm going to go Drake London.
Son of a bitch.
About him enough.
God damn it. That's my wide receiver one. That's my wide receiver one based on the film right now. But go ahead. Go off about Drake.
He is awesome, man. What he put up on tape. And, dude, these are video game numbers. Like, if you look at his targets and what he did at USC in that final season, and this all needs to get thrown out there, too. He played in a totally different role than what they had him at USC in his first 2 years. Like, we talk about the early breakout age. You could talk about that. He's at 18 and stuff. He played almost all of his snaps in the slot over his first 2 years at USC. Dude transitioned and was a total outside wide receiver in his third year, and that's where we saw him flourish. Like, he's a baller, man. He's got the size. He's got everything you want out of a true alpha wide receiver. And right now, he's flirting with being the wide receiver one for me in this class. I've still got to go through all of Garrett Wilson's tape. I still have him right now as the wide receiver one. But by the end of this week, Drake London could easily be sitting in that spot, man. And all this stuff that's out there. And again, I'm going to pull a Will Smith, man. I'm going to slap the echo chamber straight in the face right now. For everybody out there talking about Drake London can't separate, y'all need to get your shit straight, man. You need to get your shit straight and get back to watching the film on him, because I don't get it, dude. Don't get it. Can't understand it. You see early, and Ray, you talk about this ad nauseum, and you're right, my dude. There are totally different types of separation as far as when it comes to wide receivers. You got early separation. You have late separation. Guys can separate in the route. All different types of that. And people might be expecting me to say, okay, well, Drake London has late separation and that's where he wins. Okay, well, he's contested catches. That's not the case, man. He separates at all different areas of the field, early, late. And the problem and the person you really need to put this on is not Drake London, but Keaton Slovis. Slovis is out. Dude, there are multiple times where London is having to adjust because the damn ball didn't come out soon enough. In his routes, he's running wide open, and you see the ball come out seconds late to where it should have been, and the cornerbacks have a chance to sit here and catch up in the route. So if you want to sit here and talk about, oh, he's got all these contested catches, it ain't because he can't separate. It's because Slovis needs to sit here and get his mental clock tuned up a little bit for a few seconds earlier. So give me all that smoke with Drake London, baby. Dude's got talent to be an alpha in the NFL.
He's my wide receiver one based on the film. He graded out as one for me. I talk about it a lot. Everyone talks about separation. There's three ways in which a wide receiver can separate: early, off the line of scrimmage, inside the route phase, and at the catch point. I think he's the best catch point separator. And if people think that's like not a real thing, go look at one Jamar Chase and how good he is at the catch point. It looks like sometimes he's blanketed the entire time, and right before he catches the ball, a little subtle push off here, positioning of the body, boom, grabs the ball, and he's off to the races. So I'm absolutely digging that, loving that. Drake London off the board at 107. 108. I'm going to have some fun here because I'm excited to get Treylon Burks right here. Treylon Burks at the 108 spot. Kenneth Walker not on the board. There's no quarterback that I would take here this high in a super flex draft. So if Treylon Burks falls to me as the third wide receiver off of the board, still big believer of the talent, while maybe not as refined as some of the other wide receivers, an easy bake oven, ready to go out the gate. The speed, the athleticism, you know, in-game miles per hour tracking, what he does with the ball in his hands, you cannot deny it. There is GPS data on this young man hitting 21, 22 miles per hour. I'm still a big fan of Treylon Burks. I believe in the tape, believe in the game. I'm taking him here at 108. You are up at 109, my friend. And yeah, love the pick. Go ahead and let the people know who you took.
One of two guys, man, and I'm going to go with the guy that's a burner. I think he gets a little bit better draft capital. Give me Jameson Williams right here. I think the conversation is kind of between, do you want to go J-Mo, do you want to go Olave at this point in the draft? I'll take J-Mo. I think he gets the capital. Think the talent is real. I think he's going to be awesome.
All right, there you go. Jameson Williams, good chance that the team drafts, trades up to get him as well. I'm loving that Jameson Williams pick. Here at the 110 spot, I am going to project, and I still believe he gets day two draft capital. And if he gets day two draft capital, he will remain one of the top three backs for me. And I'm going Isaiah Spiller, running back out of Texas A&M. Think he's getting a lot of unfair hate. If you thought he was a 4-4 type running back when you watched the tape, you're fooling yourselves. He was never that. I thought he was a mid to high 4-5 guy. You look at David Montgomery, what he did at the combine, it's exactly Isaiah Spiller. Montgomery, 29-inch vert, Spiller out of 33. Montgomery, 4.63. Isaiah Spiller was a 4.63. David, like, they are identical clones of one another, right? Even though Breece Hall played at Iowa State, Isaiah Spiller better resembles David Montgomery than Breece Hall. And if Isaiah Spiller gets drafted round two, round three, probably going to be the third, maybe even fourth, fifth running back off of the board. I think a player like James Cook, not a big fan, but I think he might get higher draft capital. But as long as Spiller's drafted within the first three rounds, he's going to remain a top three running back for me. And to get a player like that here at the 110 spot, I'm happy with it. The depth at the wide receiver class allows that flexibility to dive into a running back like this, because I know I'm going to get a good wide receiver later on in the second round. So at 110, Isaiah Spiller, you're up at 111. Who you got?
I love that you just called Spiller and comped him to David Montgomery, because that's who I saw. A guy that can work in traffic as well as and people, I think you're absolutely right. People should not have been expecting him to run super, super fast, because you see multiple times on the tape where he gets caught from behind. If you're getting caught from behind on a lot of your runs, half your runs, any of your runs, you're not touching 4.3, you're not touching 4.4. Just not the case. You know, you're high 4.5, maybe 4.6. So I don't disagree with any of those points, and I think the tier break is massive for running back position. I'll go Olave here. I talked about him and fighting with J-Mo for that spot. Give me Chris Olave here.
All right, Chris Olave off the board at 111. And at 112, you know, D-Bro, I've gone back and forth on this one a little bit. Mm-hmm. The 112 spot, super flex. You got quarterbacks on the board. There's a couple of running backs. But I think a wide receiver that's going to get the first-round draft capital. This is tough, D-Bro. I'm trying to stall in delay here because I want to go. I feel like I need to go quarterback, but I'm not taking Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder. I've already tapped the quarterback landscape twice in this mock. I feel like that would be the move to make, but I can't do it. D-Bro, help me out. Help me out. Okay, I'll make the pick. I'm going to make the pick. I'm going George Pickens. George Pickens. Big, fast, athletic. I think he's going to be a round two pick at worst. There were a couple of players that I was deciding between here, but I went ahead and went with George Pickens. So let's just recap the round one of this mock. Malik Willis, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson round out your top three, followed by Matt Corral, Kenneth Walker, Kenny Pickett. That's your top six. Drake London, Treylon Burks, and Jameson Williams, three wide receivers off of the board. And then Isaiah Spiller, Chris Olave, and George Pickens round out the first. Let's kind of rapid fire this second round. Let's start it off at the top of the second, 201. Where are you going?
I'm gonna go with my guy. He is blowing it up. Well, I could say our guy. I know you got some bets with Jay Rich and stuff like that. Christian Watson, baby. I'm gonna go with it. And people could be surprised. I'm taking him over Jahan Dotson. I think Watson has done nothing but impress and improve his stock. And for all the things and talk about him being raw, there are other wide receivers in this class, Treylon Burks, that are raw as well as far as route running. But Christian Watson, he's going to get the capital, dude, and he deserves it. We saw him ball out the Senior Bowl. I'm in it to win it, man. Give me Watson.
All right. I don't hate it. I think he's got a better shot to go round one than he does to fall out of, the second round. So Christian Watson here starting off the second round. With the 14th pick here at 2-2, if he gets to draft capital, you can't ignore him. I'm going to go Sam Howell here at pick 202. You just got to go Sam Howell.
Agreed.
He's athletic.
If you make that pick, I was going to make that pick.
Yeah, so. It's Sam Howell. So at 2-2, if I get Sam Howell, I'd be pretty happy about that. Still, again, the reason why I felt good about Isaiah Spiller, there are a lot of wide receivers here that you can grab in the second that are very talented. So here you go. You're up at 2-3.
I'm gonna say the boring pick. I think, like a lot of people, we don't believe he's gonna be a true alpha, but he's got the upside and the skill set to be in his range of outcomes a high end two. I'm battling between two different players, but I'm curious if I can get this guy a little bit later. I want to go Jahan Dotson here.
Okay. I like Dotson. I thought about him at 112, where I took George Pickens. Thought about Jahan Dotson. Couldn't pull the trigger on Jahan Dotson there.
Gonna break my heart here and take my guy.
Okay, here we go. Where are we at? The 204? 204. I'm going to the running back pool. So I don't know if I'm taking your guy or not.
I love this guy, though. He might be my RB3 if you're going where I think you're going.
I'm going with a player who I think will have day two draft capital from a university with a history of very good running backs in the SEC. I've got to go with Zamir White here at 2-4. I'm liking everything that Zamir has done. Was a highly touted recruit, finally healthy. I get it. Double ACL tears, not ideal. I'm looking at running back in a three-year window. For 3 years, he gets in a situation. You put him on the Chargers to pair with Austin Eckler. You put him on the Saints. I saw a mock on NFL Network, on NFL.com, D-Bro, where the Saints took him in the third to pair with Alvin Kamara. That would just be a smash spot for Zamir White. So here we go, 204, Zamir White. Happy about it.
I love that. And he's obviously right now, and I'm still going through him and Spiller's tape. He's in contention to be my RB3 in this class. I think him and Spiller could end up with similar draft capital. And if you're looking at who has the better athletic testing and maybe the higher upside, it might be Zamir White, dude. So I love this pick. You let my guy fall to me, who would have been my pick. I'm going to go with Sky Moore here. He blew out the combine. I think that he is going to go. He's not leaving the round two in the NFL draft. I think that everything he's done combine-wise, plus you look at his metrics, he is going to be a plug-and-play stud from the slot as soon as the day, like from day one. And I think the growth that he's going to have to sit here and be able to take the next level to be to really hit the top of range of outcomes for him is to improve as far as an outside wide receiver. But from day one, you plug in and play him 70-65% in the slot. Yeah, give me Sky Moore, man. I think he's going to earn targets and earn them fast.
All right, there we go. I love Sky Moore. Thought I'd be able to get him here at the, 207 spot, 208. I have no clue where we're at. But I thought I was going to be able to get Sky Moore here. Not going to be able to come to fruition. So I am going back to the running back room and a player who, again, a lot of people keep talking shit about this dude, but I think he's going to get day two draft capital, and therefore he's going to matter. Again, you pair him in New Orleans, you put him in L.A. with Austin Eckler, and it's just an amazing situation. But I'm going to take the Alabama bruiser Brian Robinson here in the middle of the second. Tested very well for his size. Alabama, he's going to get the draft capital. He's a running back. Running back in Dynasty, you got to do it. So, middle of the second, Brian Robinson, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah, I think people could hear that and think it's a little bit high, but I like it, man. I think that, again, we talked about this on Twitter the other day. I think the NFL was going to like him more than Dynasty Twitter does. I don't think that he's flashy. He's sexy, but I think he's going to walk into a good role. I think he's going to be drafted probably in the top three rounds of the NFL draft. And if you look at hit rates, which I know y'all have got that all pulled up,
yep,
over at Destination Devi, if you get drafted inside the top three rounds, your hit rates are really, really good to be top 24 running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, love that pick, especially because I think people might not see him going that high. I'm going to go with the quarterback position, and this is really, I'm playing to the format here because this is not a guy that I like a lot at all much, you know, but I'm going to go the easiest and the cheapest spot where you get quarterbacks is either in a startup or your rookie drafts. Give me Desmond Ridder right here. Don't love the pick, but I'm going to lean into the format. And if you don't love him, all you got to do is wait until he starts a few games, pops off a big game or something of that nature, and flip him. And that's a possibility in Superflex. So, yeah, give me Ridder here at the 207.
So, real quick about those hit rates. So, let's just real quick for everybody out there listening. Running backs that have a top 24 finish, if you're drafted in round one, 82% hit rate. This is going back to 2004, 82% hit rate. Round two, 58% hit rate for top 24 season. And round three, 47%, right? After round three, you get 21%, 24%, 11, and 9. Top 12 seasons for the top three rounds. Round one, if you're drafted in round one, 59%. Round two, 28%. Round three, 23.9%. After round three, running backs to finish as a top 12 season, 11%, 10%, 3%, 7%. And then top six finishes at the running back position. Round one draft capital, 43%. Round two, 21%. Round three, 17%. And then round four, 4%. 5%, 0%, and then 1.9% in round seven. So again, you want round one, round two, round three draft capital. Now, I will say it's going to be interesting to track this over the next 5 years because I do think now, D-Bro, the second round is the new first round. The third round is the new second round. So we'll have to probably adjust the data, but you want running backs right now drafted in rounds one, two, and three. And I love the Desmond Ridder pick. And again, I mean, we're seeing Moxley, he's going in the first round. If he goes in the first round, you have to take him. Like, you have to, right? There's
no in the first round, he's going to be top of the second, back into the first type of pick. He's going to be up there where Hal is, and he should be, considering the format.
100% he should be because of the format. All right, so here we are. I'm back on the clock. And now it's starting to get into disgust land where you're just kind of getting the guys. You're just like getting the guys that you're betting on. And if he falls this far here at the, what is this, the 210 spot? The 210, 208? I don't know where we're at. 208. I'll take Rashad White, the running back at Arizona State. A lot of feedback
where
I'm getting
this season. Where do you think he falls in the NFL draft?
Man,
right?
I'm seeing a lot of fourth, fifth. I'm seeing a lot of fourth and fifth round, like day three.
That's what scares me. That's why I've had to like adjust and push him down my ranks a little bit.
Yeah, I understand, man. I'm seeing a lot of fourth round, fifth round. You know what? I did not lock it in. I did not lock it in. I'm going James Cook here.
Oh, shit. I can't believe you did that. Wow.
And here's the thing. I'm not the biggest James Cook fan. I don't think he's good between the tackles. I think he is a primary third down type running back. But here's the thing. He's going to get drafted on day two. I know it. He's going to get the draft capital. And I saw a mock with him to Kansas City. If he gets a sweet landing spot, I am trading him immediately. So I'm betting on the Cook name. I'm betting on the draft capital. Give me James Cook here at the 208 spot. You're up.
Wow. I wasn't prepared for this U-turn, man.
Up.
All right. There's a tier of wide receivers that I think are really, really interesting. I am going to go, I am always hashtag team get your guy. And the dude proved it at the Senior Bowl. Give me Jalen Tolbert, baby. I'm here for all that smoke. I think he goes in round three, maybe round four. I think that he is a guy that can win on the outside. And I mean, he's done nothing but check boxes, man. Did good at his combine testing. Ran a good 40. I think that if you look at metrics and stuff like that. If you go small school wide receivers, you want to see them dominate. That's what Jalen Tolbert did the entire time at South Alabama, baby. Give me Tolbert.
I mean, it is truly disgusting land at this point. I mean, it is bad. So I'm going to take a player where I like the film. I don't think he's going to fall out of day two, but he's probably a mid to late round three pick. I still like the tape. I still think he's a productive player. The analytics back it up. I'm going David Bell out of Penn State.
Oh,
taking David Bell here at the back of the second. I think this is incredible value for David Bell. Sign me up for the Purdue Boilermaker, David Bell.
Okay. I thought you were going to take another route with that. There are two different wide receivers that are on my board right now. Well,
hold up, D-Bro. Let me say this. It's your last pick, man. We've only done one mock on this pod together. This is it. Yep. This is your pick. You better make it count. I think I know where you're going, but let's see. Go ahead. Make your pick. Make it count.
All right. There's one of three wide receivers that I could take off the board right now. Man,
you don't get three. Make your one damn pick.
You put me on the spot. All right. I am going to go with a guy that I did not walk into Senior Bowl really, really high on. But considering what he did at Senior Bowl and what he showed me there, plus he tested better than I thought he was going to do in straight line speed, give me Khalil Shakir.
Wow. Okay. Khalil Shakir.
Where did you think I was going?
Damian Pierce. I thought you were going Pierce.
I thought you were going Pierce. So tell me this. Where do you think Damian gets drafted? Do you think he's early, round three or round four?
No, round four. He's going to be round four.
Okay, that's where I'm thinking too. And that's where, if I could talk myself into at least like a scenario where maybe he gets into the round three conversation, and I wish his testing would have been a little bit better. Not because I think that makes him a worse prospect in my eyes, but I think it could have helped his capital a little bit, considering we didn't see him just be a workhorse in any season at Florida. But I love the talent. You know I love the dude. I'm going to be trading into a lot of rookie drafts to get him.
All right, so I'm looking at the board now, and you've got some players left. Justin Ross, Kyren Williams, Jelani Woods, Wandell Robinson, Ty Chandler, a sleeper of mine. But at this point, I do think the fall has gone too far, and I'll double back and get Rashad White here, the running back out of Arizona State. So rounding out the second round is Rashad White. So let's just go through the second round. We have Christian Watson, Sam Howell, Jahan Dotson, Zamir White, Sky Moore, Brian Robinson, Desmond Ridder, James Cook, Jalen Tolbert, David Bell, Khalil Shakir, and Rashad White, rounding out this Superflex rookie mock draft 2022 here on the FTN Podcast Network. D-Bro, it was good, man. I appreciated the time that we had together. I know it was short, man, but, you know, I'll share with you. You don't know. I made it public this morning on the show. But one of my good buddies, man, had been in my home dynasty league for 6 years now, passed away yesterday, man. But it's so crazy that we really bonded through fantasy football in this game of a game we play, and it just shows that this is it's bigger than just your rankings, right? Like it brings friends together, it brings people together. I know some of some really, really good friendships, and some people have met their best friends and best mans and all of this stuff, matron of honor, whatever it's called, right? They've met those individuals through fantasy football. So I know you and I have connected through the fantasy football space. We got to spend time together personally through FTN at the Senior Bowl. So I just want to say, even though it was only a short four episodes, man, I appreciated doing this with you. Our relationship has grown. Excited for your success. You know, GQ is going to continue to do his damn thing regardless, baby. But I just wanted to say, really enjoyed doing this with you for four episodes, man. So I appreciate you taking a chance on me and jumping out here and doing this with me. And I'm happy for everything that's happened to you with your success. Don't want to belabor the point. That's it. The rookie mock 2022 rookie mock. Anything you would like to say before we get out of here?
I think you hit the nail on the head, dude. Doing this podcast with you has been a joy and a blessing. As somebody that has not only been a colleague, but a really good friend. We text on the side, we've met in person and stuff like that. I know that we are not going to be strangers in the space or in real life moving forward. So, I mean, dude, this is just, you know, continue growing, continue grinding, continue working. And I know our paths are will and will always cross in the future, man. So you talked about friendships and stuff. You're a good friend. And that ain't going to change just because we ain't doing a podcast together. You know what I'm saying? So everybody needs to be tapped into the good work you're doing. You and Jay Rich over at Wake Up, all the things that you're doing with Destination Debbie and everything, as well as, you know, all the content creators in the space, man. I mean, people, yep, we all cross paths and stuff like that. Show love, show kindness, be good, man. And yeah, we out of here.
Appreciate it, man. We out. Y'all be blessed. Be easy. We done, man.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Derek. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at RayGQ and Debro_FFB. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.